This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.
Nothing really does anything for me, or neither does a lot for
me. Nothing in this world does anything for me anymore.
Yeah, I was never really...
I'm Rudy Salazar, staring into the void.
On Sports Radio 810, WHB.
We got to get to a story from Rudy. We got to get to some Brett Veach audio that we didn't get to yesterday, shockingly. We got to Justin Ross. We got him talking about Justin Ross.
Heck yeah. Excited about Justin Ross.
We got a wide receiver to talk about, so of course we covered that ground. But I also want to follow up on something that Kent mentioned last hour, and that Rudy, you just had mentioned during the break. It's something
my best takes come during the break.
They really do. This is also something we had discussed a little bit over the week so far. It might have come up some on Saturday, I guess. But I'm choosing my words carefully because I think sometimes this trait is automatically seen as like a good thing that comes with no baggage if you don't frame it right. And I don't want to do that for the Chiefs. So give me a second to kind of unfold the layers of this. But they do feel like a more physical team today than they were this time a year ago, and a more physical team this time a year ago than they did this time 2 years ago. Now, again, physical doesn't just mean like handing the ball off and running a HB dive up the middle, right? Like that's not physical. I don't mean physical is keep your three linebackers on the field all the time and just let them thump dudes and everybody puts on a neck roll and you just try to make this game about my 3.1 yards per carry versus your 3.1 yards per carry and we see if one of us can break out a 4 yard long at one point to get a first down.
But that's real football, Josh.
Yeah, I don't dislike that type of football if you're like Army or whatever.
3 feet of snow, uphill, both ways, all the time.
Bills Patriots in a snowstorm last year was a unique type of treat for football.
Treat's an interesting word.
I enjoyed it, but I enjoyed it once. It's like, you know, if Renee says, hey, do you want to go? There's a French restaurant I want to go to, and they serve great snails. Also, you know what? I'm a trier, not my effort. We told you this last night. Give up. That's the ideal. But if you're going to put, specifically with food, really, I'm not sure if I'm like this in other places in my life, but with food, I'll eat anything once, and maybe twice, and then we'll see. But like, if you're like, hey, this was something, and I don't just mean like, ooh, go have some fried bull testicles. I'd rather not. But if Gordon Ramsay walked up with his little escargot of choice, yeah, I would eat them. I like to try things. I think I am generally like that with a lot of things. But with football, I'll try watching Bills Patriots in a snowstorm, and I'll enjoy it. But if I'm gonna, you know, if I'm gonna eat something every day for a week, I'd rather it be some wonderful barbecue or some fried chicken. If it's gonna be football I'm gonna watch every week, I'd like to see the football thrown. But this isn't a stylistic change in terms of philosophy. It's just some differences in some of the types of players, even. There's something philosophical in there, I'm sure. But I said this earlier, I think this was yesterday. But like, I do feel like you could make an argument that over the last couple of years, the Chiefs' defense, at some points it's been good, at some points it's been bad, most times it's been kind of average, right? But, you know, overall, it's been eh. It's been an eh defense.
Eh, feels very right.
And like, Legarius Sneed would hit, and Travarius Ward would tackle, and Rashad Fenton hits, and, you know, Willie Gay and Nick Bolton hit, and the guys previously not so much. Look at, I'm not trying to, Tyrann Mathieu in New Orleans, I'm not trying to start anything, but he and Dan Sorensen both last year were not, they were not necessarily laying lumber, and Sorensen wasn't getting to the place to put the lumber.
And Tyrann Mathieu admitted to it, so like, you know what I mean? Like he came out and said, hey, I was not my best last year, right?
That's
so,
a
like,
great point.
It's fair for you to say it because Tyrann Mathieu said it.
Would have been cooler for him to cop to that a couple of months earlier instead of ruining my timeline for,
I would argue he went about that the right way.
I'm sure you would argue that. Yeah, it makes sense. What a great friend. But, like, ultimately, if it's
I'm always
by,
here for Tyrann Mathieu.
That's true. You and my little sister both took his side. I still bought her a birthday present.
She bracketologist, little sister.
That's a good point. Yeah, she gave us back. She gave good content at every turn. And what would make me more proud as a brother if not just some good content a few times a year?
Good content.
She makes good content. What are you going to do about it? But again, so like if it's age or style of play or whoever, the Chiefs defensive line last year, look, man, Melvin Ingram made some thunderous hits in the backfield. It was hard for him to do it a ton of the time because he's 97 football years old, but he would make some hits. Mike Dana is a football player who will just be there when the ball gets there, but he's probably not the aggressor. Frank Clark, hard to be the aggressor when you're dealing with injuries and on and off the field. Again, I'll never make injury concerns, quote unquote, a character thing. I don't ever mean to infer that. And frankly, even finding out that Tyrann Mathieu had a broken thumb during part of that or whatever it was also plays into that factor. But the end result for the Chiefs these last couple of years has largely been not a soft defense, but a non-punishing defense. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't feel like offenses left Kansas City feeling terribly punished on Sunday nights and Mondays most of the time. This defense feels like it has been retooled to make you hurt after you play the Chiefs. And that's kind of a fun little twist.
For sure. And I think the last little clarification is important too, of like, because I think this applies to the offense, especially the offensive line as well. Saying an offense or any area, any position wasn't necessarily physical is not the same as saying they weren't tough. If you play in the NFL,
yeah.
I generally believe if you play in the NFL, you're tough, right?
Because it's impossible not
you
to be. NFL kickers are tougher than anyone you know.
Yeah,
anyone like you've ever met in your entire life.
The stuff that they have put themselves through their entire life to get to this position, they are tough. There's a difference between tough and physical.
Yes.
But this offensive line, and even when the offensive line, again, was good, like, right? Eric Fisher and Mitchell Schwartz were great tackles.
Incredible. Orlando Brown and whoever the right tackle is, and especially for the right tackle, if any right tackle on this team has two-thirds of Mitchell Schwartz's career, the Chiefs would be ecstatic.
Thrilled. But there is a difference in the style that this team plays.
Yes.
This offensive line is going to be more physical. This defense is going to hit a lot harder. They are looking to hit, and that might be the most important thing, right? It's not just guys that are capable of hitting hard. It's guys that are looking to hit hard. Mm-hmm. It's guys that are looking to punish you. And I think you can even go to, like, even some of the skill players, right? Like, Sky Moore's physical, right?
Yeah.
He battles with corners. Like, I think this is a receiver group that is a bit more physical than what they've even had in the past. I mean, the tight end group is essentially the same. I think Travis Kelsey has throughout most of his career not been given the full respect in that regard.
100%.
Right? Like,
100%.
George Kittle's the better tight end because he's a better run block. No,
Travis Kelsey has been too smart to be perceived as being physical, which again is a little bit of a different thing. Like, I don't know Leo Chanel personally.
He's generally been more healthy.
Also, absolutely a part of it.
You know what I mean?
It's
like sometimes it's just smart to, like, not try to destroy your body.
I don't know Leo Chanel personally. I don't know very much about him outside of what I've learned about him as a football player. So please, you know, if we find out that he actually, like, went to Wisconsin and to be a biologist or something and everything, that may all be true. I do not mean to make any assumptions about this man's intelligence by any stretch of the imagination. You also have to be smart to be good at football at this level. But he seems like a person that would eat thumbtacks for breakfast without any milk. Just a bowl of thumbtacks. Like that yeah. just crunching glass for fun, you
he
know,
enjoys,
like that.
He enjoys hitting people, right?
Right.
And also, like, I think there's something to adding that to it. Again, we talk about a defense that teams might fear some, right? Not because they're one of the three best defenses in the NFL necessarily, but because you know when you go in, you're going to get hit. You're going to get hit hard. And I do think there's something to, like, especially if you start talking about your opposing receivers coming in, you're like, oh, there's the safety that's running around just trying to take our head off.
What do you make him think about
ideally
on Tuesday?
In a way that doesn't incur penalties, obviously.
Yeah. Take our head off because he hit us in the chest so hard, you know?
Yeah. But, like, there is something to that I think it seems pretty clear that we saw that with the offensive line last year, and I think Darren Kennard's just kind of the final piece. That's why and again, I really like Lucas Niang.
I don't think Niang could do some of that. Niang is a mountain of a man.
He is a big dude. He's athletic. You know, I am just speaking. Maybe they even view it as a chance. Like, I think Lucas Niang, if healthy, is the front runner. Mm-hmm. Like, and part of that is he's been in the system. He knows the offense.
I think it might be Andrew Wiley.
Ooh, here's the thing. I don't hate the idea of it. I if you told me right now, week one, who if I picked the starter, I think I'd pick Andrew Wiley because I was really impressed with Andrew Wiley last year.
This is by the way, this is the result of good competition, okay? And it's yes. hard to do this at the NFL level sometimes, but the result of good competition at the NFL level is that I will not be able to tell you right now. I could not tell you. I do not know at the end of training camp who's going to be the Chiefs' starting right tackle. I don't know. What I do know is it's going to be good. How do I know that? Because I think the odds of Andrew Wiley, Darian Kennard, and Lucas Niang all being unable to play good football in week one is very low.
Yeah.
Like the odds of at least one of them are going to be good and healthy is pretty high.
And the value of having even just going out and draft, if you are somebody who is a big Lucas Niang guy and you're like, well, why would you draft Darian Kennard? You have Lucas Niang. Well, here's the value. Lucas Niang wins the starting right tackle job. I mean, I'm thrilled for him. If Orlando Brown Jr. goes down, that's the only guy who has the ability to swing over. It's not Darian Kennard. It's not Andrew Wiley. So, like, that could be where Darian Kennard's role this year is, right? God forbid Orlando Brown Jr. gets hurt.
Right.
But Niang slides over to the left, and now Kennard's starting on the right, right? Like, that, and that's the value in Lucas Niang.
Or if either of the guards get hurt, all three of those guys have played guard on some level. I think Niang may have done it very briefly and was largely projected to be a guard. Kennard touched guard in college, I think,
a little
at one point.
Bit early
on.
Yes, early on a little bit. But he
everyone thinks all three of those guys can play. Wiley's played guard at the NFL level,
I'll
obviously.
Be stunned if Kennard is not getting reps at guard throughout
in training camp,
training camp,
absolutely.
Mini camps, all that stuff. And he should be.
Yes, like you want all three these of guys, them should be.
Yeah,
sure.
You want these guys to have as much versatility as humanly possible.
That what that does is it allows you to not I don't know, like Nick Allegretti also I think is a fine football player who
for
once
sure.
again is going to be really squeezed on this roster. I hope he finds a spot because I think he's earned that over the years. He also could theoretically give you a little bit of work at center, but Austin Ryder is back. I know that went under
I always forget about that.
Yeah, understandably, but look, the Chiefs have never won a Super Bowl in the modern era without Austin Ryder.
It's true.
Just telling you.
I mean, it's true.
So, with all of that, like
I also don't win without Frank Clark. Obviously, we can all agree on that.
It's a great point. I'm going to start using Austin Ryder as my counter argument to the Frank Clark thing.
I like that one.
That one's pretty good. But yeah, like that, the benefit of having linemen that are that sort of positionally diverse, it means that you are almost always able to have your five or six best linemen on the field. So whatever position goes down, if it's Tooney or Trey Smith or Orlando Brown or whoever the starting right tackle is. You know that your sixth best offensive lineman can probably help you solve that problem no matter what. That's really valuable. I was trying to kind of figure out how, because we're thinking about this out loud on some level. I'm trying to figure out how I want to quantify the physicality and the toughness and everything. Mm-hmm. And what I think it has to be is where, and I'm going to keep using the word punishing, specifically for the defense and maybe for the offensive line also. You can have a really good defense that is not punishing.
For sure.
You can have a defense that is not elite fast. You can have a defense that is also good. You can have a good defense that's not elite fast. You can have a good defense not elite physical. You can have a defense that's not elite punishing. You can have a defense that has varying different forms of versatility, whatever it might be.
You can have a defense that is punishing because of the secondary, right? Like the Legion
sure.
of Boom was this, which right, a lot of times when you think of a punishing defense, you think about pass rushers killing quarterbacks.
I think about
Seattle
linebackers.
Yes, like right, Seattle did it with corners and safeties. Seattle was just like, hey, we're just going to kill you with our corners and safeties. Like to your point, there's a ton of different ways you can go about this.
And also, there are ways you can have a defense that is fast and isn't good, or is punishing and isn't good, or whatever. So where I'm kind of working in the quote-unquote physicality of what's been invested here is that it is one element of what a defense can have, might need to have, whatever. It doesn't mean there's a guarantee. Again, Leo Chanel is not going to be on the field the majority of the snaps this year, barring an injury to Willie Gay or Nick Bolton. Or at the very least, I can tell you one of those three guys is not going to be on the field for the majority of the snaps this year. I do think, and maybe we can unpack this more again in a little while, I've kind of teased a half take here multiple times. I think there's a decent chance that at pick 62 and 103, the Chiefs took Brian Cook and Leo Chanel, who might not share the field with each other very often at all this year, because when Chanel comes off the field in sub packages, Cook goes on. That could end up being that maybe that applies to Juan Thornhill, or maybe that applies to Nick Bolton or Willie Gay. But typically when you're going from base to sub packages, linebackers coming off, a DB is going on.
And in a lot, and especially in the Chiefs' defense, it's largely been a third safety, right?
Like yes,
usually what we've seen under Spags.
And again, positional versatility helps you in all of those ways. I think Willie Gay is the one that can't come off the field in passing downs.
And Cook has shown the ability again. Like this may sound like an insult to him in a way, right? He's shown, I think he can do it at a much higher level,
yes,
and also much cheaper.
Yes.
The things that Daniel Sorensen, that they wanted Daniel Sorensen to do.
The box safety stuff.
The box safety, come up and hit.
Sorensen told me, that I had never heard him or anyone on the Chiefs, from the Chiefs, we did that, the interviews that we did out of that ADA signing a little more than a year ago now, I guess. And Dan Sorensen, to me, used the phrase, I can't remember, I couldn't quote you verbatim, but he said something about being able to play safety, and then he said the phrase, weak side linebacker. I wasn't even calling him a weak side linebacker because I don't know that that's even fair to put a safety's body in a linebacker label there. But Cook can do some of that, again, which is why I was surprised when they drafted Chanel, and then you realize that, again, he's got the athletic testing of someone from a different planet, and he goes, all right, it comes together.
We'll take a flyer on this and see what we can do with it.
Yeah. So like
because sometimes football can come down to as simple as give me athletes, and I'll try to work with them.
Yeah, who like also have produced,
yes,
right?
Not just elite athletes
who produced at a school that has turned out a couple of thumpers defensively. Yep. I'm good with that. I'm not losing any sleep about the Chanel pick. It was just the one that gave me the most pause. And then now, again, it also, there's a difference between making that pick at 103 and making that pick at 50-something or 60-something. Yep. Those are different animals.
When it's your first pick versus when it's your fifth pick, right?
Yes.
Like it's just very different.
If the Chiefs had not drafted a corner, edge, and a wide receiver, and maybe a corner, edge, wide receiver, and safety, I would have said, are you sure there wasn't someone at a more valuable position to your roster that you could have taken there? But in reality, I would still ask that question the war room,
sure,
right? If we were going around the room and then Brett Veach said, Josh, what do you think? I'd say, well, is there a player at a more valuable position to our roster here that we could select? And they would all go, not really. He's our best player available, and the other guys that we like are also guys that we already have. But cool.
Maybe it's a big reach, right? There's a defensive end they like, but they're like, we wouldn't draft him in the third round.
Then don't.
Don't reach.
Don't. Yeah, I would generally, I think, rather see you take the freak athlete at a position that you don't necessarily need rather than reach for the guy you desperately do. Again, desperation in the draft is usually an indicator of something going wrong to get to that point. But the Chiefs, I think, overall were able to address some of that without ever having to pay the tax for reaching. That's why this draft class comes together so beautifully.
I feel like I've said this a million times, but I mean, it's something we talked about on the show frequently on how just results are obviously important, but like so is the process, right? Because the process, if you repeat a process that is successful, generally you will continue to have success. Sometimes, of course, you're going to fail. It is possible this draft largely sucks. I don't think that's going to be the case, but it's possible. But the process, I think, is good.
Yes.
And I think if Brett Veach and the Chiefs follow this process, more times than not, their drafts are going to be really good. Now, you're not always going to have a Tyreek Hill to trade away, right, to really add up picks.
True.
I mean, I hope they do, right? That means they're drafting pretty dang well. But generally, you're not going to have that. But if you follow this sort of process of, hey, we will trade up for the laugh for difference makers, but there is that ceiling where where we're not willing to go, right? And maybe that's whether it depends on where you're initially at, right? But in this, it's moving up to 21, but it's only for select players, and then from there we're not looking to reach, right? Like we are going to trade back. We're going to just kind of let the board fall to us, take best players available. Like I think the process for this draft, I think it's by far the best process of the draft, right? We'll ultimately see what the results are because anything can happen, right? But like the process, I think, was the best.
And all right now we can judge really is the process. We spent quite a bit of time talking about Darian Kennard here today. We'll go back to yesterday when Brett Veach spoke to me. That was yesterday, right? There's no way it was 2 days ago. No, because we had.
Here's the thing, man.
We got one piece of audio yesterday.
I've been through some stuff.
We got to get to Rudy's story later. Also, early-ish yesterday.
Yes, it was yesterday because he was supposed to speak on Monday, but it got pushed back to Tuesday.
That's right.
Today is Wednesday. Got there.
Today felt like a Friday for a moment today. It's been a weird week. We got Suns Mavs game 2 coming up in 30 minutes here on 810.
Wallaby says, has the show ever talked about hockey? Just wait, baby, because the Avalanche are about to be in the Stanley Cup this year.
I wore a hockey jersey
last night.
Last night, I rolled up here in my then Phoenix, now Arizona Coyotes sweater. Yeah, that's right. I know it's called a sweater. I said jersey the first time, but I said sweater whenever it was directly about the hockey team. I get it. Maybe we can get Rudy a Darren Kennard sweater. Probably not.
That'd be kind of cool.
I think hockey aesthetics and baseball aesthetics are clearly the best two in Absolutely. Terms of jerseys you wear yeah. throughout the rest of your life.
You can get Kentucky because Kentucky has a club hockey team, so you can get Kentucky hockey sweaters. They're sweet.
I feel like
I really want one.
I feel like you should absolutely have a Kentucky hockey sweater.
Yeah.
That feels like you could pull that off.
I've never owned the hockey sweater, but it is the one that I look at from afar. I'm just like, because I'm generally not a wear jerseys guy.
Yeah.
But I think the hockey sweater is like the one that it's generally okay, I think, for anybody to wear at almost any time. Unless it's obviously like, you know, don't show up to your wedding in it, obviously. I mean, unless that's your thing, right? Unless that's
Why
your
not?
Theme. But point being, like, I think the hockey sweater is like the one uniform that just works like all the time.
Also, by default, it's like oversized and baggy in a way that it can be flattering to any body type.
Yep.
You're a little skinny person, that's all right, put on a big hockey sweater. You're a big person, cool, put on a big hockey sweater. Either way, you're gonna look like you're swimming in it. It's kind of the point.
I'm a big hockey sweater guy.
I think baseball jerseys have to be second.
For sure. Absolutely.
You can open them up. You can button them up, whatever.
It's the buttons, right? The buttons make it, because it makes it like a button-up shirt, right?
Yeah.
Like almost like you're fancy, right?
Yeah. Not as easy to maybe if you're, I don't know, just to pick a random person, like looking at Jay Crowder, the Valley jerseys on the Suns website and thinking, man, I really do think this would be a hilarious aesthetic for me to adopt. But I definitely can't go to work with my armpits out, you know?
Here's the thing with the basketball jersey where I think it works. And I think this might be reserved to white people only.
Okay.
I think where this is the way white people that can wear
okay.
a basketball
this
jersey.
Is exclusive to white people.
I mean, not
okay.
exclusive to white, like anybody can do whatever they want. But
sure.
I think this is how white people are able to wear a basketball jersey and it look all right.
Got it.
Basketball jersey over the hoodie, low-key kind of works. You see it every now and then at a basketball game,
yeah.
like somebody wearing just like a gray hoodie with the basketball jersey over. And again, you can't rock that like every week, right?
Or in July.
Well, depending on where you live, I guess. You know?
I don't think
and
we could probably.
Here, no, but Minnesota maybe, right? If you're a Timberwolves fan.
I think
point being like it kind of works, but otherwise you're generally right. Like it is very hard to wear a basketball jersey and it work, especially
also,
once you get over the age of like 20.
Also, Ice Pyro says I have a Pikachu baseball jersey.
I saw that, and I need.
So maybe we're gonna get Rudy's aesthetic updated a little bit.
Might need a picture of this.
Can we drop a link in the chat?
If you got any links,
Ice Pyro. We can just Google Pokemon baseball jerseys. I feel like I don't
Pokemon
think I would go Pikachu. But, oh man! I mean, what else
oh,
could you
boy.
Possibly ask for?
Oh boy.
I think also with a black NBA jersey. Black undershirt kind of gets you to that short sleeve place pretty easily. That's what's really kept me on the edge of thinking maybe this is going to be for me. It's a tough one, though. Hockey jerseys, elite. It made a lot of sense like 7 minutes ago when I told Rudy, hey, let's pull up that Darian Kennard, Brett Veach audio because we were talking about Darian Kennard in the right tackle position. But now we're here. But we've only played one Brett Veach audio clip in 2 days. So
news tough and physical. Hockey players. No else is tough and physical? Darian Kennard.
Here's Brett Veach and how the Chiefs view Darian Kennard.
Yeah, I think we do. I mean, and that's our plan when we drafted him. There's been a lot of talk as, you know, is he a tackle? Is he a guard? And, I think we feel confident they can play guard. But, I mean, you're talking about a guy that has logged a ton of starts at right tackle. There's some cleanup work that he needs to do. We have a great coaching staff. We have a great group of guys in that room that are really experienced and, but I think, you know, anytime you can go and play right tackle successfully at an SEC level, more often than not, that'll translate to the pro level. Now it'll be a jump just like all these colleges are, when you're moving from, moving up to the NFL. So it's not like it's going to be easier, but I think if there's one conference that gives you a sense of, sense of hope and, you know, sense of encouragement is, you know, if you can line up at right tackle, and I think we all saw that Georgia defensive line last year, if you can line up and play against defensive fronts of that caliber, I mean, you're certainly going to have a shot. Again, it doesn't mean it's going to be easy, and it might be rough at the beginning, but I certainly think he's athletic enough. He's certainly long enough. We love his length. And, you know, Orlando Brown, people thought he wasn't athletic to play tackle, but I think when you have size, length, and you're wired the right way, you put those guys around the right coaching, I think they can become very successful. And I think that's kind of where we're going with Darren.
No questions about his length.
Love Brett Veach when he loves a man's length.
No questions about where he played.
It just means more.
I should clarify the very first question. The response there was, do you see him as a tackle? Which is where Veach said, yeah, we do. And that, I think, is logical. I think he needs to largely stay at tackle to sort of, pay off on the pick. For this to be a steal, he's a tackle. For it to be a good pick, he could be a guard from that spot. I don't mean to say that he couldn't just be or a swing tackle even. But
if he's Trey Smith's backup, I mean, just even the right side backup, that it can still be a good pick if he does well filling in.
On a rookie contract for three or 4 years, sure.
But steals are starters generally, right?
Yeah.
Or the undrafted guy who does, I mean, bringing him up again, Daniel Sorensen was a steal as an undrafted free agent, right? Like, you know, you don't expect undrafted free agent guys to contribute. Yeah, if Darren Kennard is not starting the NFL, he's not a steal, but a good pick, a value pick.
This also goes back to some stuff the area scout said about him at the time, like, hey, we're going to turn him over to Andy Heck and see what he can do. There is some technique stuff that he does need to improve on, but I don't know, man. I mean, it feels like a pretty good, if it's going to be a gamble, that feels like a pretty good gamble to take on your best chance of getting a starting tackle that late in the draft for a player who, again, like, did it at a high...
Did it at a big time.
Shut up and take off your headphones. I don't want you to hear this. I kind of think that if Darian Kennard had the exact same career, but he was at Alabama, he probably goes like two full rounds higher. Maybe three.
Did I hear my name, Josh?
Yeah, you're good. You can go ahead and put him back on. Yep, you're
gotcha.
Good. Yep. I just said that Kentucky's a football school and everyone respects that.
Yeah. Potential number one overall pick next year. Will Levis, baby.
We didn't even ask Ken about Lonnie Johnson. Could have really gotten him to continue that Kentucky hype train. It's a fun pick. It's a fun role to see where he ends up. I do think it's really informative that the Chiefs see him as a tackle. Again, we heard that from the scout. We now have heard that from Veach. And ultimately, it's, you know, trying to make that offensive line a little nastier. And that really has been an evolution. Again, not that you couldn't win a Super Bowl with Eric Fisher and Mitchell Schwartz, because let me check my notes. You can. They did, actually.
Aww.
They did. I just double-checked that. They did, in fact, win that Super Bowl.
With Austin Ryder as your center?
Yeah, apparently so. That is what happened. Who are the starting guards on that team? Go
that
ahead, you coward.
I was about to make the joke about how I don't remember the two guards on that team.
By the end, it might have been Wiley and Allegretti. That was the one, because it was Kelechi Osemele at the beginning of that season, right?
Kelechi. Because Laurent. No. Laurent started. That was the next year.
No, you're right.
Yeah.
You're right.
So Laurent,
LDT was there.
LDT
you're
was
right.
The right guard. And the left guard.
There it was still LDT. It might have been Gretti, man.
I don't know if Gretti was playing yet. Like, really playing. There's a name that we're forgetting.
Oh, this is the 2020.
Was it Andrew Wiley on the left side?
I thought it might have been Gretti and Wiley. It might have been Wiley and LDT. We got to get to 54, though. Yeah, I don't know. Why don't we take a break instead of Googling all this now? Whenever we come back, we'll leave you on the edge of our seat. Here's an old school radio tease. Whenever we come back, we'll try to remember who the starting guards were on that Super Bowl team. Plus, more audio. Rudy's very, 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 very long day at work and a whole lot more. You know, I love to tell you about Rubac Fine Jewelry. It's because they did me a great service whenever I went to them in the engagement ring process. I did a little bit of Googling for the couple of weeks leading up to realizing, I got to start working on this here. I'm trying to lock this down, I'm trying to get this lifetime contract signed up here pretty soon. I would like to get a little bit of jewelry on then girlfriend Renee's ring finger. But we Googled some things. We looked at some stuff. Like, oh, these are some neat things. How is that going to work if we just do something online, is that a good idea? No, the answer is no. Hey, hi, I'm Joshua Briscoe from Almost Entirely Sports, here to tell you, be smarter than me, cut out all of the time you're going to waste at the beginning, and go straight to Ruback, because the only actual stop I ever made in this process was at Ruback. Go to Ruback. It's by appointment only. You can get their information at ruback.co. That's RUBACK.co. They've been serving this area for more than 100 years. If you go to Ruback and you talk to Hal, he will guide you along this process. He will listen to what you like. He will listen, if you want them to be involved, to what your significant other likes. And you guys can figure out all together, here's our goal. Here's our process. What do you think? What should I be asking for here? And for me, again, I went through that process. I went into that process with very little information in terms of what Renee wanted, in terms of what I even could afford. That's a whole question. Hey, don't Google how much diamond can I buy. That's not the way to do it. But ultimately, when I ended up getting to Hal, we went through that process. We figured out, hey, not only can I end up with a big shiny diamond up in here, a couple little ones around it also. It's fun. I like this ring a lot. But also, here's how we can make this something beautiful and custom and long-lasting, classic, and something that will look incredible years to come. I could not be happier with that process. And also, you might go, but Josh, a custom ring, that does sound expensive. You're on those big, fancy sports talk radio paychecks. I mean, you probably could have bought the moon, just pulled it right out of the sky, right? Listen here. A custom ring means a custom budget for you. Again, I went in with a couple of things, like some starting points. Eventually, Hal helped me kind of mold what I wanted with what I could do, and I just could not. There was not a single thing that I would change about that process or the result of the ring that now Renee wears. So I would really encourage you, if you're in that timeline right now looking at an engagement ring, no better place to do it than at Ruback Fine Jewelry right here in Kansas City. You can make your appointment with them at Ruback Fine Jewelry right now online. Visit them at ruback.co. That's RUBACK.co. And maybe you're trying to get that last-minute Mother's Day gift. Maybe you're trying to add a little jewelry somewhere else in your life. They've got pieces ready for you there as well. So go check them out in person and go online at ruback.co.
This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.
I did not have in the show notes talk about how clean Rudy's butt was all pandemic, but here we are.
On Sports Radio 810. WHB.
Rudy found the answer. The Chiefs starting guards in the Super Bowl were Laurent Duvernay-Tardif and Stefan Wisniewski.
Forgot about Wisniewski.
You made this point during the break, Rudy, but like looking at this roster here right now, the amount of positional changes, it does not feel like the Chiefs won the Super Bowl that long ago. Mm-hmm. I remember a lot of that with more clarity than I remember what I had for lunch yesterday, which makes sense. It was slightly more important to my life, I guess, than what I had for lunch yesterday, but you get the point. But also, looking at the offense, Patrick Mahomes, Damian Williams, Anthony Sherman, Tyreek Hill, Sammy Watkins, Travis Kelce, Eric Fisher, Stefan Wisniewski, Austin Ryder, Laurent Duvernay-Tardif, and Mitchell Schwartz. Of those starters, three of them are currently on this roster. One of them is Austin Ryder. And then you also have down the depth chart, you know, Mecole Hardman still here. But then it's LeSean McCoy, DeMarcus Robinson, Cam Irving. Emmanuel Ogba had a career resurgence and two contracts now after leaving this team. Terrell Suggs was on this team.
God, I forgot about Terrell Suggs.
Tano Passanio, Chris Jones, Derek Nnadi, Frank Clark, Anthony Hitchens, Damian Wilson, Travarius Ward, Bashaud Breeland, Kendall Fuller, Dan Sorensen, Tyrann Mathieu. That list has three guys who are still here. Chris Jones, Derek Nnadi, Frank Clark. Everybody else is gone.
The defensive line is pretty intact, you know, at least from the starting, you know, right? Like the guys behind them have changed drastically, but yeah, three or four starters just there.
Mo Claiborne was on that team?
God, we've had some.
Is that right? Hold on, CBSSports.com. This is the first one I just straight up don't believe. Because I thought, did he not get cut? Did he play a snap in the Super Bowl? I don't know. I'm going to try to get to the bottom of how long Morris Claiborne was a member of the Chiefs. I remember being there at training camp, or no, it was in season maybe. I don't know. Whatever day it was that he was there, I remember being there for it. I think it was at training camp. But that's like, that's, there's your trip down memory lane. The experience of watching the AFC Championship game and the Super Bowl and the parade and everything do not feel that long ago. I see pictures every once in a while, you know, and I'm just from the Super Bowl parade and everything.
He was inactive, but he was on the roster.
So he did not take a snap in the Super Bowl, but he's got a ring.
He was inactive for the entirety of the playoff run.
Okay, that makes sense. He played in 8 games in 2019. But you know what his Pro Football Reference page also says?
Super Bowl champ.
One-time Super Bowl champ.
Go Mo. LSU.
So, Rudy, give me and the audience, because I only know, the crazy thing here is I only know chunks of this story, but I do know the end result. You tell this story. Yeah. This is the Rudy segment.
I don't know if there's much more to like what you
well,
know.
Well, you got
to
explain it to the whole audience
for sure,
right now.
For sure, for sure.
And I'll just jut in whenever I think there's something noteworthy.
Because like it is a story that is both like not that crazy in terms of I don't know if there's a lot, but what there is, it's just kind of like really.
Just take it linearly.
So we obviously last night we do the show, we do AES. 10 o'clock comes, you know, show's over with, packing up, getting my stuff ready.
I'm gone. I have left a Josh-shaped hole in the wall at this point.
I get into my car. I'm the only one like at the building. I'm driving home, right? And my commute right now. I moved out this previous weekend. My commute right now is a little bit longer because I'm just I've moved to a slightly farther place than where I used to live, and it requires me to get on the highway for a bit. So I hop on. I'm just driving. Hop on the highway. Highway 69. Very nice.
Nice.
Heading towards, I'm about Stillwell, and I notice my car just kind of does a little beep, but I look at it, and it says engine overheating, at which point I look up, and I see smoke coming off my engine. I'm like, huh. It's like 10:30 right now. I've never had, I understand like what's happening, right? Like my engine's overheating, right? My car told me that. Never actually had this problem though before in my life. I have a rough idea of what you do, but it's just like, again, when you've never dealt with something your first time, you're just kind of like, you're just a little caught off back, right? Because it's not often you just see your engine smoking.
And you'd love for it to happen when the light is out if you had your choice.
Yeah, not 10:30, you know, p.m. on a highway near Stillwell, Kansas, which again, not far from here.
I'm checking the receipts just because this is going to come up for somebody at some point.
Yeah.
The first time that I got word of this was at 11:20 p.m. when you messaged me and Beards about it, presumably after you had solved some things. Because if I was listening to the story right now, it's like, okay, so why didn't you just call Josh and have him come in? I did not find out about this until 11:20, at which point I was asleep on the couch in the basement, which is why you got a response from me at 2 a.m.
Yes.
Because that is the time. Anytime you get a message from me or see a tweet or something at 2 a.m., assume that I fell asleep on a couch at 11 p.m. and that's me waking up from the couch to go to bed.
Yeah. And so, anyways.
Total exoneration. For me as a bad friend. Okay,
and to be fair, I did not like call, like as I'll explain when I get there, I didn't really call anybody in part because of just the time and stuff. But anyways, so what I essentially pull off the highway, right? I'm just, all right, pull off to the side of the highway. It's just, okay, I need a gas station. That's my first thought. Let's find a gas station. There's one not too far. And so I'm driving slow. And as long as I'm driving slow, my car is not overheating too much. I left out one little detail. I started to notice something might be up in my car because it was like a little chilly and I was trying to have the defrosters on and there was no heat coming out of my ventilation. So I was
weird.
Like, huh, there might be like something seems to be wrong. I didn't think it was. It is a common thing of like when your engine like of overheating, right? What ultimately happened, not having heat in your out of your ventilation's normal.
It's just funny because at that moment you're thinking, oh, my car's not getting hot enough.
Yeah, because like,
which is the opposite of the problem.
And at a time, I've had my AC not work, so I'm just thinking the same thing, right? This is just a separate thing. I just need to take it in,
sure.
But I'm not worried about it because it's summertime, right?
Sure.
Like we're approaching summer. Anyways, get off, go to a gas station, closed. Okay, there's another gas station a little bit down the road. It's also closed. I'm like, huh? Because again, my engine is overheating, so in my mind, like. I know water's not the fix, but it can be a temporary just
a lot of gas stations would have coolant, you know?
That too,
yeah,
right?
Sure.
But just at the very least, if I can get a jug of water just to get me to where I need to be.
Does that work? I've seen that in
again,
like commercials.
It is a it doesn't, it is not a solution, right? It does not work in the fact that it fixes it. It can just, if you
cool you down
it
for
can
a
just
second,
get you to a mechanic.
Okay,
you do not want to drive around in this for like long term at all. Just get to a mechanic, anyways. So I'm just like, I'm going like 30 miles per hour. And at this point, my engine has like cooled down, right? There's no signs. It's not smoking, nothing. Because I'm just, I just need to get somewhere where I can get coolant. So I realize I am now right near Metcalf. And so I just make the decision, okay, I'm like 10 minutes from the station. I'm just going to drive down Metcalf about 30 miles per hour. It's about 10:30, 11 at night. Obviously, it takes a while to get back. As I'm going, there's a quick trip at 151st Street. Pull over. Get 50/50 coolant, you know, get that, you know, the, which is what you use for your radiator to keep it cool. Anyways, get back to the station, park, come inside because I need to let my car cool down, right? I can't go touch
that engine.
And now
it's probably 11:30-ish.
Yeah, it's 11:30-ish at this point. And so it's, I'm just kind of, I'm killing time. I know what's wrong, or at least I assume I know what's wrong, right? It's clearly something with the radiator, something like my car's overheating. So I'm just waiting, kind of just figuring out what's my game plan long-term as I'm waiting for my car to cool down. I think car cools down, walk out to it, open up the, the little overfill
little cap.
And I can see just, there's essentially no coolant in it. It's just like.
And you just put some
cool.
in it.
Clearly. This
at the quick trip, right?
No, I hadn't put any. I was like, thing was like, because I was close enough to the state.
Let's
station.
Get back. Let it
I was
cool.
like, let's just get back there so I can like go inside got and it. Like I have just more space. And I didn't really want some random person walking up and me, oh, what you got going
what
on
I do
there?
For you?
Yeah,
blah, 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 blah.
Yeah. Some horrible, well-meaning individual.
Yeah, I hate those people. So anyway, as I get back here, yeah, like I open up, start see that there's nothing in there. I'm like, okay.
Ice Pyro says, water's perfectly fine as long as it doesn't freeze. It's not a long-term solution because it doesn't have lubricant in it.
Yeah.
Thank you, Ice Pyro.
Yes.
I learned something.
And so anyways, Wallaby says distilled water. I did see that mentioned multiple times about distilled water. I don't think you'd need it with 50-50 or anything because the 50-50 is just
has
the
water,
coolant.
For sure.
Yeah, but start pouring it in because I'm like, okay, hopefully this is just the fix, right? I pour it in. I've got coolant. We're fine. Literally the second I start pouring it in, I hear dripping noises.
Oh.
And this leak is not just a slow leak. It is leaking faster than I can fill the thing.
Good.
Like it
okay.
is. It's just immediately. It is, there is no coolant in it, right? Like
yeah.
what I poured in is just gone. So I know me like, okay. I clearly have a leak, right?
Yeah.
It's 11:30 midnight, right around there. No place is open. So I'm like, okay, well, like I cannot get to where the places that I need to, where I would ideally like to get to are just too far to drive.
Yeah.
With my car.
Places
and
where
you
had like a bed / shower.
Yeah.
You
just,
know,
it's too far, right? Like I'm not like I, the station was kind of at my limit of this is how far I'll drive right now.
Yeah.
And especially with a leak, right? Like it's just not happening. So I make the decision. I called my, you know, my old man, kind of just let him know. I was like, hey, this is what's happened. I actually called him when it first happened just because it was just like instinct. He doesn't answer or anything because he's sleeping, of course.
Right.
But eventually he actually then like sees my, I just shoot him a text like, hey, because like you're going to see missed calls from me at night. Don't worry. I'm fine.
I'm not dead.
Car just is leaking, coolant, yada, yada, yada. Anyways, to speed this up, because I realize we're running out of time.
Yeah.
I tell him, I basically just make the decision, you know what, I can't go anywhere, it's late, I don't want to call anybody, wake anybody up, I don't want people to come get me, I'm going to sleep at the station.
Everyone should know this about Rudy. Rudy's biggest fear in life is inconveniencing other people.
It's kind of true, yeah.
Yeah, no, not joking.
It's top three, yeah. I do not
high
like
on
to
the
inconvenience
list.
Other people. Again, part of that is because I hate it when people do it to me, but so I don't want to be the hypocrite and do it to other people.
Yeah, but also sometimes you could just call someone and let them pick you up so you don't have to sleep in the big lazy boy in the chair, lazy boy chair downstairs.
But that's what I did. So I slept in the recliners downstairs about 2 or 3 a.m. I got a little chilly, so I came upstairs, grabbed a table skirt, and that was my pillow. Or not, that was my blanket. about 7 o'clock, I did not sleep well. I was kind of up and awake and asleep throughout the night, and eventually by about 7 o'clock, I took my car over to the good people at the Goodyear on 119th, and I forget the brother's name, the Osman brothers. They run the Goodyear over 119th Metcalf. They get me all fixed up. It's the water case. Water case? Water
jug? I have no idea, dude. I have no idea.
I'm not forgetting. The water tank. Water tank had a leak in it. That's what was causing everything, just obviously.
Didn't know cars had water tanks.
Yeah, I think it's the thing that, like, connects the coolant goes into it, blah, 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 blah. Anyways, right, like, it's just leaking. It's going everywhere.
Follow-up question from S. Wallaby. Are there not Ubers or Lyfts in Kansas City? Great question, S. Wallaby.
There are, because also the thought process was, right, I could go to a hotel. Ubers to get to where I needed to go would have cost a lot of money.
Fair enough.
I ain't spending that money, and I didn't want to spend money on a hotel on something for 6 hours. Right?
Also,
I was
fair.
Just like, you know what? I don't want to spend, you know, anywhere from $60 to $100 for 6 hours. Like, you know what? I'll just toughen this up. And that's what I did. And so I've been here since like 1 p.m. yesterday.
I can't think of a better way to put a bow on this show than to try to get one step closer to letting Rudy drive his now functioning car back home.
I hope.
Because you're going to, well, yeah, I guess true. But you got good service. You feel good about all that being.
Yeah, when I got in, the first thing I checked was, oh, I feel heat coming through my ventilations. You know?
The little lever doesn't go straight again, to H anymore.
A lot of this was a lot of this decision. I mean, this was all my decision, right? You know, I could have chose differently. It largely came down to money and just being like, you know what, I can suck it up for like 6 hours because I've slept in worse spots, like much, much worse. I was inside a building that I was familiar with and had a chair to sleep on. Oh, funny part is the first time I went out to my car, I opened the door to go out to my car. And as I take a footstep, one step out, I realize I don't have my keys. And I didn't come that close, right? Like, the door is not about to close or anything. Yes. My whole body's in the way.
We've got a key. You got to scan a key fob to get in the building after hours.
I am leaving my key. And my key is not leaving my pocket the rest of this night.
Because at that point,
now we're in trouble.
Because you couldn't get into your car without your car key. You couldn't get into the building without the building key. Now all of a sudden, you are laying in front of the door waiting for Marco to come step over you to start the border patrol in the morning.
I think I might have had a way in, maybe, an old way I used to get in. But that was like 5 years ago, and I don't know if that way still exists.
Rudy, you cannot climb this tree.
I'm telling you, man, if I can just get up that tree, I can make it from the tree to the balcony.
Wow. On that note,
it was so I've been here for like 32 hours, 36 hours, something like
it's
that.
It's got to be approaching a record. I'm sure people have spent the night here before. I've almost spent the night here before.
If you're watching on Twitch and you're like, Rudy looks like he's wearing the same things, because I am. None of my clothes are near me.
Do you think people on the video feeds notice if our clothes are the same as the day before? Because I've definitely...
That's why I've had the jacket on the whole time to hide it, you know?
Wow, that's next level. This show... It's neurotic at times.
Not the most exciting story, but
no,
like,
it's a
yeah,
good,
I slept
you
here.
Spent the night at the radio station. You've been here for 30 plus hours.
I checked it off the bucket list because I came close multiple times to doing this.
Right.
And now I've actually done it.
We've been close before. There have been late nights into early mornings and stuff here, but that one is a new one. Hey, we're back tomorrow, 7 to 10. Up next, Mavs Suns Game 2. It's only going to be 4 games in this series, so enjoy it. Bye, Mom.